We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
A large and very disorganized library here in the studio next to me. Lots of books that I've read. And I can guarantee I won't go back and read them again, not because they weren't good books, but because there's no need to return to them. They've served their purpose. If I go to my iPod, I've got a whole slew of books in there. And a lot of them, well, once I've read them, they get unchecked. And I don't think I'll probably return to them again either. Some of them maybe, but probably not. Now, what is a book that you use every day that is with you your whole life? Is there any book like that? You'll say Holy Scripture is, most certainly. Are there any others? Those that are drawn up out of Holy Scripture that a Christian can stick with his entire life. Luther said there was. His catechism. He wasn't boasting of his own authorship, but of the Word of God that was found there in his simple little catechism. Joining us to talk about Luther's catechism is Pastor Bill Swirla. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He's co-host of a weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers, and he's author of an article for the latest edition of Higher Things magazine titled Catechism FAQs. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing good. You say of the catechism, a lot of books you grow out of, the catechism you grow into. What do you mean?
I'm kind of reflecting Luther's little statement in his preface. I believe it's the preface of the Small Catechism. I don't have it in front of me right now. But he talks about, as a doctor of theology, as a teacher in the church, he must daily, he says, he daily returns to the catechism like a child to his ABCs. And you know, and he says this in view of the sort of proud and inflated theologians, you know, who they've long gone beyond this stuff, and they have no need for this simple catechism any longer. And Luther says he has to return to it daily, like reviewing one's ABCs as a little child. And so what I mean by that is that one never truly grows out of it. That you come back to it over and over. First of all, to get regrounded in the basics, you know, and the catechism really is the basics of the Christian faith. It's repentance and faith and prayer, the sacraments. But not only that, it also, I think, stimulates what you have learned from your other readings. You know, as you read through Scripture, and you begin to discover how, you know, where this doctrine comes from. And how the various points of Scripture, you know, how these things hang together, and then you go back to these little useful formulae and summaries, and it's like a never ending cycle of reflection, prayer, study, reflection, prayer, study. And I think it's a grave mistake for anybody to think that this is some kid's book that you just kind of learn, get your confirmation out of the way, tuck it on the shelf, forget about it, that kind of thing.
What is a catechism? How would you describe that particular kind of book?
Strange little word. The Greek word actually refers to a pedagogical technique of hearing something and repeating it back. You almost see the word echo in there, katekao, you know, to echo back what you've heard. That's not a true etymology, but it kind of works. So, you know, the whole idea is that you heard, you listened, you integrated, and then you said back. Which is kind of the pattern of how God deals with us. He speaks His word, we hear it, and then we say back to Him what we have heard, you know, in confession and praise and things like that. So a catechism was a handy little summary, kind of a handbook that one could learn from. Is a little student's tool too that one could learn, and so, you know, hear these things and learn them and repeat them. They're not new to Luther. this period in history when Luther was around in the Reformation, other catechisms all over the place. Most of them were these kind of, they're cool little books. A lot of them had nice art in them and things like that, but they mostly consisted of lists. You know, the seven deadly sins, the Ten Commandments, and everything was kind of broken down into memorable lists, and you kind of learned them by rote. So, like you learned your times tables or something like that. Now, Luther kind of took that form and moved it into something far more useful, and that is that he took the basic catechism, which would have been the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Our Father, and he added memorable explanations that answered the kind of question, what does this mean? That fills things up. So each commandment has a kind of a patterned, memorable meaning, as well as the three articles of the Creed and the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Then he also, you know, added the sacraments, along with questions, pedagogical questions, again, including, you know, where is this written? How can water do such great things? These are the kinds of basic questions to understanding the sacraments. And what he did was he created this little handbook initially for his parents who were marginally illiterate. And so, you know, the parents couldn't read. You know the heading for each part of the catechism, right, Todd? As the head of the household should teach, or as the head of the household should teach his family concerning the Ten Commandments, the Creed. So it's written for the heads of household, some of whom couldn't read, and certainly couldn't, you know, handle major doctrinal treatises and things like that. But they could memorize these things, and then from memory, those would form the platforms for discussion at the table with the children, teaching them the faith. And, I mean, Luther even made, he was way ahead of his time in terms of multimedia. he made wall charts. You know, the Gutenberg press was around, and so you could mass produce stuff. And so he made the pages of the catechism into things you could hang on the wall. And some editions of the catechism were illustrated with these great woodcuts and things like that, all designed so that the family could delight in the basic doctrines of the Christian faith and talk about them.
Why did he consider this so important?
Well, you know, he did a number of visits as the Reformation in the 1520s, as the Reformation takes hold. And, you know, the various congregations in the German regions and that are, you know, the gospel is beginning to take hold, and people are hearing some for the first time the whole idea of free forgiveness in Christ and the justification of the sinner before God by grace through faith. What he discovered as he's kind of looking to see what the condition of the parishes, the churches were, was of still an appalling degree of ignorance. You know, the problem in the church was that it was kind of like you leave the experts to handle the theology, you leave the choir to sing, and you just kind of go to church and hang around, pretty much. and so people were and even the pastors were not very well versed in just very basic things. Luther was lamenting that they couldn't even explain the Lord's Prayer. So it was in part motivated by what he described in his visit to the Saxon congregations, just the appalling condition. You know, he laments, "Oh, what wretchedness I observed," and that he was motivated then in 1528 and 1529 to summarize. He initially wanted other people to do this. He asked other people to write a catechism. He was too busy and wasn't satisfied. Finally, he took matters in his own hands, did it himself, and then in 1529 preached a series, between 1528 and 1529, preached a series of sermons on these topics, which then became our large catechism, these catechism sermons, which were preached during the week, and he told the heads of household, bring your family, you know, 2 p.m., whatever time it was, Thursday, and he preached on these topics, and that became then the large catechism. But it was motivated by an appalling level of ignorance in the very basic elements of the Christian faith.
You mentioned the parts that Luther saw fit to include, the traditional parts that he had borrowed from earlier efforts, being the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Starting with those, and we'll talk about them a little bit one by one, but with about a minute here before our break, why was that always, even before Luther's time, considered to be basic Christian knowledge? That is kind of the, as he said, the alphabet of Christian knowledge.
Well, you know, I would kind of amend that question a little bit, Todd, and say I don't really think from medieval catechisms that it was really ever understood that way. I think Luther kind of really cleared up something. Is, you know, he got rid of those lists like, you know, the virtues, the mortal sins, this and that, and he focused on the three major texts. The core catechism is the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Our Father. And when you look at the various catechisms that are around, you could make an argument that Luther intentionally put these in an order that made a catechetical sense. So the Ten Commandments, the law, dealing with our sin and our repentance, the Creed in its three articles dealing with God, who he is and what he does for us and for our salvation, centered in Christ, and then the Our Father, the platform for prayer. So you have repentance, faith, and prayer. You can make a very strong argument, I think, that Luther rather intentionally took these three fundamental texts of the Christian faith, ordered them in this way intentionally, to kind of correspond to the way he presents the Christian faith as repentance, faith, and prayer.
Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about Luther's catechisms. It's Thursday afternoon, October the 4th.
Your children well, their father's hell. Did slowly go by and feed them on your dream.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Where is the outrage?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Something that should have sparked civil rights protests is being ignored. Ron Vermani, a Charlotte, North Carolina abortionist, was asked not to abort babies so they could be adopted. Vermani's response, caught on video, was taxpayers should not pay for children to be born who'll grow up to be murderers. If it wasn't clear what he meant, it became clear when he went on to make very derogatory remarks about black babies in particular. How can such comments not spark national outrage? The answer? An abortionist champions the killing of black babies, but the mainstream media is nowhere to be found.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about Luther's catechisms. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Any question or comment you might have about Luther and his catechism, especially as it's used today, or I guess we could say in a lot of circles, especially in the circles of Luther's theological descendants, not used today, which is rather remarkable if you think about it. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. or a tweet at IssuesETC. The other three parts that he had, we mentioned before the break, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and you said, put together in such a way so as to present the faith, law and gospel. The other three are baptism, the Lord's Supper, and absolution, sometimes ordered a little bit differently there. Why was that important for Luther as one of the fundamental alphabet of the Christian faith?
Yeah, great question. You know, so let's look at the catechism in terms of all of its parts. Some people are not aware that there's like eight parts to this thing, okay? So the core catechism, and I like to think of it more as concentric circles rather than a list or groupings or like, you know, plowing through a book. So at the core is the law, the commandments, faith, you know, the creed, and prayer. Then at the second circle, then, is how these things come to us, you know, that the Holy Spirit works through means. And the means are the word and the sacrament, or the sacramental word. And so you have these forms of the gospel where God deals with us personally, so that what Christ has done for all, he delivers to us, you know, personally, individually. So you have baptism, and then the return to the return to baptism in confession, absolution, and then the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ given to the individual in communion with his fellow communicants, of course. So you have then, you know, this is the life of faith. This is how faith is created and sustained. Like our confessions say, the Holy Spirit works faith when and where it pleases him, and those who hear the gospel, and this is why God has instituted the ministry of the gospel and the sacraments. And so you have that second tier. This is the content of Christ's work delivered and applied to the sinner. And then there's the third part, sometimes forgotten. And that is the orders for daily prayer, morning, noon, and evening. And I say noon because I think the mealtime prayer is really intended as a noontime prayer when the whole family, and a lot of societies, that's when the family gets together for the big meal. I mean, if you grew up in rural part of the Midwest or so, that was a big time. The big meal was noon. But morning, noon, and evening, and then also the last part, the table of Christian duties or responsibilities, and that is this collection of Bible passages, really under the fourth commandment, dealing with the three ordos of our temporal life, that is church and civil society and home. And those then together form the basic fundamental teaching that we call the Small Catechism.
Now, Luther's adamant about this, Bill. And you mentioned earlier the preface to both his small and larger catechisms. He is adamant about this, that this is, he says at one point that those who won't learn it, children who won't learn the Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, shouldn't be fed. And then he says of the, and I think he calls them lazy bellies or pot bellies or something.
One
of the pig references he's often very fond of, says these theologians who think that they've outgrown it, who think they've grown too sophisticated for this. First of all, he says, I, like a little child, remain a student of the catechism. But he says if they won't learn it, they should be driven out and pelted with dung, chased by dogs and pelted with dung. So that's strong language for people who think either they don't need it or they've learned it already and don't need it. Why?
Don't you wish you could talk like that today, Todd? You know, we're such a polite society today. I mean, pelted by dung. Quite frankly, I think that would solve a lot of problems in the church if we just had a little bit more pelting by dung. You know, I'm just speaking off the side. Why is this so important? Because, you know, here's the thing, is that theology is endlessly fascinating. As you can, you know, go on Facebook and watch all the theological discussions and debates and blah, 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 or read the blogs and everything. There's an infinite amount of stuff to think about, and there's endless stuff to argue about. But the danger in all of that is that you literally lose the salvation forest for the doctrinal trees and leaves and twigs, if you will. And so we get so immersed sometimes in the minors, and we get so caught up in this and that, that we come untethered. And the beauty of the catechism is it always kind of sets you back to square one again, to the foundational stuff. And how often do you hear that in other areas of life? You know, if you want to improve your tennis game, what do they tell you? You got to tear down your game, go back to the basics. You know, we always talk about that, back to the basics. When we teach, we go back to sort of the core stuff. And so this is core-level Christianity. The other beauty of it is it's memorable. And I hate to say it, but it's more memorable in German than it is in English. The English translators don't quite get the genius of Luther's German. This is poetic. And then moving from that, it's also prayerful. That these texts are suitable, I say, for devotion. Wilhelm Leah, I believe, was the Lutheran pastor who said, this is the only catechism in the history of Christianity that can be prayed. And, I mean, try that. Pick up the Heidelberg Catechism sometime. Try to pray that. You know, or the New Roman Catechism, which is this big, big book. You know, but here you got this simple, simple, basic catechism, the universal Christian faith, summarized neatly and memorably, and you can devote on it. You remember Luther's fourfold way of praying, where you basically say back what you learned, you confess your sins, you give thanks to God for the gifts revealed therein, and then you ask God for something based on what you read. You can do this with each portion, each little bit of the catechism, and so internalize it by way of devotion and prayer. It's beautiful. I call it the crown jewel of the Reformation.
Now, it raises a question that you've mentioned there, and that is the question of memorization, which at one time was considered the mother of learning and now is considered somehow inimical to learning. Why memorize the catechism? Besides the fact that it's pretty easy to memorize, why memorize it?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think memorization is coming back, though, if I'm catching some of the winds of the current movements in education. I think they've realized the error of their ways by completely eliminating memorization, because funny things happen in the brain, you know, when you memorize. It stores things in this kind of holistic way, and then you have these things readily available to you when you discuss the Christian faith with others. I mean, so let's just talk something as simple as witnessing, as outreach, you know, what we call evangelism or whatever. You know, to talk about your Christian faith, what better summary of the Christian faith than the Catechism's second article of the Creed? You know, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, lost and condemned creature, etc. You know, I mean, it's this beautiful summary of who Christ is and what he has done for our salvation, and I can't think of a finer summary of the gospel than that. So it's having these texts readily available, not simply on our fingertips, but on our lips. And then also, as one reads the scripture, it becomes kind of a road map through the scriptures, so that you don't get lost in all the minutiae and the weird, you know, because scripture is an interesting thing. It delivers these narratives and these parables and all these kinds of things, and you can get really hung up in all the nooks and crannies of the scripture, but you have this road map here, this summary, this doctrinal summary drawn from the scriptures themselves, which kind of give you just this road map of what this is about, and you can find it then all over the place. You know, you can find these teachings all over the place, and so it's a marvelous sort of... if you have it internalized and you have it memorized, I like better, like Peter Bender says, learn by heart. Not like the times tables, which are utterly meaningless, you know, so you just, you know, drill them into your head. You learn the catechism by heart, by use, by saying out loud, by praying, by talking about it.
Andy's listening in Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Todd. One of the things about the catechism, you hear often, people say, well, the reason that I don't talk about my faith is that I would have trouble answering questions that people would have. If you study the catechism and just, you know, a page or two a day, you pretty well come up with those answers. And the lovely thing about that slim maroon volume that you can get at CPH, I think it's less than $10 if you walk into the store, but you could probably get it for $12.50 through the mail at your 1-800 number. All the scripture verses are printed out right there along with the material of Luther's. and it's just so easy to use.
Andy, thank you very much. Bill?
Yeah, great points. First of all, like I was saying, in terms of just confidently speaking to another person, to your neighbor, to your children, to your coworker, you have this wonderful summary of Christian doctrine in very bite-sized, memorable pieces. Secondly, he mentioned the catechism plus explanations, which most of us who grew up in the Lutheran Church, we grew up with, we were confirmed with. And I want to be careful to make a distinction. When I say the small catechism, I mean in that book, the first 32 pages, because the small catechism really is quite small. The other thing, the questions and answers together with biblical proof texts and things like that, that's an addendum. I find it kind of interesting that a book of explanations to the small catechism is about 5 times bigger than the catechism itself. But I would strongly advocate learning by heart those first 32 or whatever pages. And then also going on to the large catechism, I grew up with a misunderstanding that the large catechism was for pastors and the small catechism was for the laity. Completely untrue.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about Luther's catechism. It's Thursday afternoon, October the 4th. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over 2 centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Lutheran. It's not a label. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is not a book, but in fact a CD, and a very useful CD indeed. It's called Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. It's a 4-CD set that you will find beautifully arranged. Actually has a lot to do with the subject of our conversation with Pastor Bill Swirla on the Small Catechism. It's a 4-CD set. And it's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth, a 4-CD set, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Bill, you were talking before about the usefulness of this, the memorization of this, the necessity of this. I remember a mutual friend of ours, Pastor Brent Kuhlman, and I often mention this. I'm sure our listeners will remember we were college roommates at one point, and then after we began studying for the ministry, stayed in touch. He became a pastor in Nebraska, came back to visit one time, and he said something about after his first few years in the ministry. He said, I'm just going to be a catechism pastor. And that has stuck with me for over 20 years, thinking to myself, that is the way a pastor ought to conduct himself. He sticks to the catechism. Doesn't mean he's going to teach nothing other than, but the catechism will be the core of his teaching, his ministry, and his practice. What do you make of that? Is that too simple a way to look at a whole pastoral career, someone who's called to preach the whole counsel of God?
Well, I think a lot of, and I like that sentence a lot. I think depending on who hears it, it could rile some people or get some people upset, because they would rather be a Christ preaching pastor or something. But I don't think there's a difference. You know, I think Christ is at the center of the catechism. Luther is so Christ-centered when he takes this medieval form and does something totally different with it. It's just everything. Even the core catechism has a second article in the middle of it. That may be a coincidence, but it certainly puts Christ in the center, the literal center. But here's the thing: is that if you think of the Christian faith as a list of things to be believed and confessed and stuff like that, then it becomes kind of difficult to see how the catechism fits in. But if you think of it as concentric circles, which I really like, I like things because that's Lutheran theology is concentric. It's centered in Christ. It has the central teaching of the justification of the sinner, for Christ's sake alone. If you consider it that way, then the catechism is that core, that central core from which everything else kind of radiates. So no matter where you want to go, doctrine of creation, doctrine of vocation, talk about the sacraments, talk about baptism, things like confession, absolution, wherever you want to go, you can always go back to, you can start at the core and work out from there. And so you're always tethered off to the core of the faith. And I like that because I think people get lost when they're just kind of, they're doing kind of like starburst theology, that now here, now there, now somewhere else. Oh, look at this, look at that. It's kind of like, those dogs on the animated movie Up, Squirrel, they're just kind of looking over in the corner now. The catechism keeps you from getting distracted, and it keeps you centered and focused. It's kind of our Christian center of gravity. In martial arts, you need to know where your center of gravity is so you don't get knocked over easily. Or if you do, you're under control of that. The catechism is our spiritual center of gravity. This is we return to it because this is the core of what we believe, and everything else kind of radiates out from it.
Does it have that function not only in the life of the Christian but in the life of the congregation as well? I mean, for centuries, it was considered the basic handbook of the layperson, the basic confession of the layperson, too.
Yeah, our formula of Concord goes so far as to call the small and large catechism the layman's Bible, which, that's in our confessions. That might curl some people's hair, too, to think of such things in those terms. Not to say it's a replacement Bible, but it's a faithful summary of what every Christian, needs to know, ought to know, for their salvation, and also to be able to articulate the Christian faith. And so, what you've got is you've got something that's going to keep you centered and focused on Christ. It's going to deliver the law and the gospel. It's going to teach you to pray. I mean, when you start articulating all the things, it's going to tell you where the forgiveness is being given out and offered and applied to you in your baptism and hearing the word of forgiveness and the body and the blood. You start talking about this. That this is fundamental Christianity. This is so basic. I like to have these little pamphlet catechisms, not the maroon book, but the little pamphlets. I give them to anybody, even who say they're Christian. And I say, do you disagree with any of this? And it's amazing. Anybody, I don't care what flavor you are in Christianity. People kind of look and they go, "Yeah, this is good." This is what I believe. And I think that what Luther has done is he's distilled Christianity down to its demi-glace. With these tried and true texts. And like you said, we could talk about the individual components for a long, long time. And that's also the point, too. It's so distilled and so concentrated that you have a lifetime of unpacking to do.
Generally and kind of traditionally, when someone joins a Lutheran congregation, they're asked to make a profession of faith or a reaffirmation of faith, something along those lines, a public rite of the church. It's obviously in the long run kind of neither here nor there, but the rite goes something like, you know, do you confess the doctrine of the Lutheran Church as you have learned it from Luther's Small Catechism? Of our pastors, we require quite a bit more in terms of as they have learned it from all of the confessions. But of our people, we say, as we have learned it from the Small Catechism. What do you say to congregations that would still call themselves Lutheran, but you can't find a catechism? Maybe there's one in the library, maybe on the pastor's shelf, but they're not using it anymore. It's not being taught. It's not being preached. Their rite might go something like, you know, the Lutheran Church, as you have learned it from our three-hour new members seminar.
Well, I mean, it's the three-hour new members seminar unpacks the Small Catechism. We can't fault it for speed. I don't know if it's possible, but you can certainly the Small Catechism in a Lutheran person and a Lutheran congregation needs to be in the minds and hearts of its people, and I think that's really what we're talking about here. This is not a book on the shelf any more than the Book of Concord, the assemblage of the Lutheran confessions, is some book that you own. We have the confessions. I don't care if you have them. Do you know what they are? Do you believe, teach, and confess according to them? Because these things are, in the right sense of this word, a living document. Not that we can play with it however we wish, but that this is a document that governs our life together. It answers the question, is it Lutheran? I was just telling my Bible class that this morning. I said, you know, the Lutheran confessions, they answer the question, is it Lutheran? So, you know, we talk about infant baptism. Somebody says, well, we don't want to baptize infants. Is that Lutheran? Look it up. It's there. That's what the confessions talk about. And so, you know, I think what happens is when the most elemental of the confessions, the Small Catechism, is forgotten, then we become like the people of Israel. Remember, over and over in their history, they forgot the Torah. They forgot Moses. They didn't hear it. You know, and then there are these moments of revival. You remember what happens, like, under Hezekiah and Josiah, and where they read. I was just reading in Nehemiah where they're having one of those moments. You know, they read the book of the Torah, the law, and the people are just mortified. We haven't been doing this. You know, oh no, what's going to happen? You know, and all of a sudden there's this upsurge in getting back to the basics. And I think when you lose that in the minds and the hearts of the people, you really lose that sort of that Lutheran way of thinking, that Lutheran way of approaching the Christian faith, which is radically Christ-centered, distinguishing the law and the gospel, and other things begin to creep in. You're sort of undefensed. And pretty soon other catechisms start to take hold.
With only about 30 seconds here, is it, someone says it was written so long ago by a guy who's been dead so long, you know, isn't there something better out there? Isn't there can't we substitute something else? What would you say?
Yeah, well, you could say that of the Bible too, I suppose, huh? It was written by all those dead guys way back then. You know, when it comes to a doctrinal summary like the Catechism or any of the confessions, you know, the older the better, because they have withstood the test of time. They have withstood hostile cross-examination. You know, they have been debated across the centuries with you know, different cultures, have different kind of world views and stuff. You know, it's survived all of this stuff, and that it has, you know, tells you that it's withstood that test as a normed norm, as something that has been tested against the scriptures by many generations and found to be, you know, worthy and proper and right. And so, now, does that mean all we do is just recite the catechism and that's it, we're done? No, you know, that's the job of the Christian pastor and teacher and parent, is to bring these things into the contemporary language of the culture, the issues that are facing us today, and talking about these things in light of what has been handed to us. You know, so we don't need a modern catechism. What we need is an ongoing application, interpretation, and discussion around this catechism, which is part of our venerable tradition.
Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of a weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Catechism FAQs. We will post a link to this article and to The God Whisperers at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thanks.
It's always a pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Dr. Charles Geeshan of Concordia Theological Seminary about this great biblical theme of being robed or clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's to be found so many places. We'll explore all of that tomorrow on Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300 is a growing group of congregations that have devoted themselves in their annual budgets to support Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more, and they form the backbone of congregational support for the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. If your congregation isn't a member, you know, you hear these spots during the breaks, congregations advertising from all over the country. You want to know, how can my congregation advertise on Issues Etc.? That congregation you just heard, part of the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the donate page, you'll find a one-page flyer that you can print off and take to your congregation. You ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300, too. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issuesetc.org.